And today, the 2020 presidential field lost someone who loomed large in the early going. Senator Elizabeth Warren dropped out, saying young girls will have to wait another 4 years. She was asked if she's endorsing Biden or Sanders.
Not today. I need some space around this and want to take a little time to think a little more.
Well, meanwhile, those two top remaining candidates are training their fire on each other. Let's get right to it with NPR political reporter Juana Summers. And Juana, what struck you about what Warren said today?
Yeah, so the biggest thing that struck me is that her comments were political, but they were also very personal. She talked about those pinky promises that she'd been making to little girls on the campaign trail. Mm-hmm. And she also got a question about the impact of gender on this race. Of the major candidates who started out this race, Elizabeth Warren is the final woman to depart the campaign. And she talked about the fact that when she's asked about gender, it's a trap question. If you acknowledge the sexism in the race, people say you're weak. If you don't, women say, what planet are you on? And she indicated that's a topic she's going to have a lot more to say about in the future. And I think it's something a lot of people want to hear her and the other women who have left this race address.
Yeah. And what are the stakes for her now with people anticipating an endorsement?
I think a lot of people want to hear what she has to say. She indicated that it had been her vision from the outset that while people said this was a race between two competing wings, the more moderate Joe Biden wing of the party and the more progressive space with Bernie Sanders on the left, she felt like there was another path. And evidently she said she was perhaps she was mistaken now that she's out of the race. So a lot of people want to know. I think they'll be looking to her to see what she does next. If she does indeed endorse, I think it could be a pretty striking statement and could mean a lot as this race is still very, very close, and we've got months to go.
Well, people will be, taking apart, dissecting her campaign in the coming days. And we have a story at HereNow.org about how women were viewed in this race people might be interested in. But meanwhile, this morning, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer endorsed Joe Biden ahead of that state's primary on Tuesday. And on NBC's Today Show, Joe Biden, who won 10 of 14 states on Super Tuesday, that huge day for him, laughed off Bernie Sanders' claim that he, Biden, is the candidate of the corporate establishment.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Bernie, you got beaten by overwhelming support I have in the African-American community, Bernie. You got beaten because of suburban women, Bernie. You got beaten because of middle-class, hardworking folks out there, Bernie.
Well, but Biden is also going to face fire, as you know, from Senate Republicans preparing to vote soon on a subpoena for information on his son, Hunter Biden, and Hunter's former job at that Ukrainian energy company. Now, most analysts concluded that Biden himself rooted out corruption in Ukraine, but is this going to be a problem he's got to face?
Well, it's clear that Republicans want to make it a problem for them, and that's why you see them who are preparing to have the vote on the subpoena that you just mentioned. The question is how much it matters to voters. When I've been out on the campaign trail and I've covered former Vice President Biden, as well as Bernie Sanders and other candidates, this isn't something that often comes up, but it is certainly something that Republicans and I think President Trump will be talking about and hoping that can penetrate and dent support for Biden.
Well, meanwhile, last night, Bernie Sanders spoke to Rachel Maddow on MSNBC and said, if Joe Biden enters the Democratic convention this summer with a plurality of delegates, in other words, more than anyone else, instead of the 1991, the majority that it takes to clinch the nomination, Sanders says Biden would be the nominee. But he said if there's no nominee after the first ballot, superdelegates, those on the sidelines, would then be able to vote. That could be a problem. He said this.
And what I have said is that I think it would be a real, real disaster for the Democratic Party if, you know, I'm running against you and you have more votes than me. And I say, well, wait a second, I don't want Rachel. I want somebody else who didn't get as many votes as she did. Let's have the superdelegates vote on the second ballot. Do you know what that would do to the Democratic electorate? People would say the person who got the most votes didn't get selected. Most delegates. I'm sorry. Right. Most delegates.
Yeah. So parse that for us.
Yeah, so I think there is still a looming threat of a convention fight. We've heard Bernie Sanders argue that whoever gets the most delegates should be crowned the nominee for president. But a lot of lawmakers that I've talked to here in Washington think that the party needs to stick with the rules that were rewritten. They say specifically to address the complaints against bias of Bernie Sanders in his 2016 campaign. I think that there is growing concern among elite Democrats, certainly, that the party needs to coalesce around whoever the nominee is or risk some of the tensions that we saw in the last campaign.
Yeah. Meanwhile, two swing state primaries coming up. We mentioned Michigan Tuesday, Florida the following week. We will be watching with you. Juana Summers, NPR political reporter. Thank you.
Thanks so much.